Welcome. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you, and welcome to all our listeners tuned in right across the world via the website. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Mary Graham joins me in the studio. Mary, how are you?
How are you, Doug?
Yes, going well. Tell us your mob, your country.
My mob on my father's side is the Combermere mob down the Gold Coast. They're part of the big Yugambeh language group all around southeast Queensland there. And on my mother's side is Waka Waka. She came from Baramba, which is now Cherbourg. So she came to live in my father's people's area down there, down the Gold Coast. That's my background.
All right. I've just been doing a little bit of reading and helped again, mm-hmm. supported by good staff.
Mm-hmm.
And I was actually having a discussion about that redneck Gary Johns had an article, pretty seriously flawed and critical of our mob and stuff. The sort of stuff that you would expect. It continues to live down to my expectations. But then we got on to the Bennelong Society, which Gary Johns was a part of. It's a now defunct organisation, the Bennelong Society, a right-wing conservative.
Conservative
group of...
Neoliberal.
I know what I'd like to say, neoliberal. But Johns was on the board, as was Wesley Aird, one of our own mob. Wesley Aird.
Yep.
And Anthony Dillon. Were on the board.
Thank God,
this organisation is wound up now now defunct. It's not in operation anymore.
Yes.
But they had an award that they used to hand out, probably you might say breastplate.
Yes, that's
I
think that could be compared to it.
Yes.
The last of the breastplates.
Yes.
They keep on going, but they just called something different.
Well, yes. In 2002, our Professor Bonnie Robertson was awarded one of these medals.
Oh, my God,
Warren Mundine in 2005. Dr. Sue Gordon in 2006.
Mal Brough from Western Australia.
Mal Brough in 08. And Bess Price.
Oh, Bess.
My dear friend.
Your friend.
In 2009. For her forthright defence of the Northern Territory National Emergency Response and her challenge to white students and cranky Koories and Murrays from down south who know nothing about Aboriginal people and who hate white fellas.
Who says that? Who said that?
That's the Bennelong Society. They've recognised that aspect of her and given her the Bennelong Medal.
So basically, it's a medal. I don't know. I've heard of it, and I know it's very right wing, but I have not read or seen anything about what do you get a medal for? You get a medal for being basically a willing cohort or helper or supporter of right wing politics. That's basically what it is, eh?
It has to be. I mean, if you're not a supporter of white right wing politics, you certainly wouldn't get any recognition from them.
So you must be a person who receives that. Must be a good all for assimilation, all for Aboriginal people not running their own affairs, all for all of those things that we've suffered under, basically, and mainly because the politics of the right, very, very right-wing, agree with and carry out those sort of policies that are against their interests and against our own human rights. So those people, I think, must agree with all of that.
Must do.
They must. And that's why they get a medal for, you know, going along with the... Basically, you get a medal for being a collaborationist. That's what you're a collaborator.
Yes.
In the worst kind of... aspects of
it's sad, isn't
policy.
It, to hear
it,
of some
it is
of these,
tragic. It
oh,
is.
Some of our mob that
yes,
are
it's
prepared
both,
that think it's
yes,
okay to accept.
Yes. It's both shameful and it's disgusting. Actually,
Yeah, very sad. That's the Bennelong Society. It's no longer.
But it's been replaced by other things, I imagine.
Oh, they'll find somewhere else to go, you know. Yeah. They join Andrew Bolt on here or something.
Oh, that's right.
Or something like that or whatever,
yes,
you know.
We could have the Bolt medal.
Yeah, he'll probably have that happen soon. Yes. Anyway, Mary, moving right along.
You can't believe it's 2015, you know.
God. That's right, yeah.
Really, when you hear about these dates,
some of these medals date back to 2002 through 2009.
Right.
Mm. And it's an annual... over the years, the society operated, they awarded medals to people that served Indigenous affairs well at their annual conference, Bennelong conference.
According to whose
criteria.
Opinion.
Whose
criteria.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Redneck conservatives.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It's sad.
It is sad.
Now, New South Wales elections are coming up a couple of days' time.
Oh, right.
And again... Black politics, black issues, not just politics, black issues have been largely ignored.
I'm ever hopeful. You can see that, Todd. Yeah.
Largely ignored.
So I try to look on the bright side, you know, there is a bright side. Yeah.
We live in hope, you know. We've lived in hope since the arrival of the colonizers, I think, and they sick. They'll get better.
Yeah, they don't understand.
You know, they'll get better. Yeah. They'll learn. They'll
work it out.
And we're still saying that.
Yeah, we're still saying that.
Over 200 years later, they're sick in the mind. They'll learn. They'll work it out. Mind you, some have. Some have, of course.
Not the policymakers. As soon as government comes into it, it's like, you know, this truly is a true old style colonial country. You know, even... For all their madness, you know, I mean, there's various political madnesses, Americans, you know, America has had treaties with the Indigenous people.
With the First Nations people,
even though there's probably still racism a lot there in different forms, at least I have heard Americans sort of accept the idea that treaties, you know, having agreements of some sort with Native Americans is the right thing to do.
Mm.
Likewise in Canada and
New Zealand.
Mm. But here it's like they are stuck in some colonial the powers that be basically, but with a very quite large majority in the community, I think, general Australian community, who guess cannot see their way to understanding that it's better to have an equal, respectful relationship. It's better all round.
Of course.
You know, it's better. It leads to better policies, you know, leads to better, more positive relations between each other.
More harmonious coexistence.
More creativity even. Just
yes.
more creativity.
Yes. And it must impact on the economy, on the bottom line.
Yeah,
it must impact there, Mary, in a positive sense.
In a positive sense, yeah.
It must.
Efficient. The economics, the whole economics of Aboriginal affairs would be far more efficient if they worked together with us and not with, you know, certain collaborators who just agree with everything the government says, you know.
This country and the authority, the establishment appears to be still old-style colonialists.
Very old-style, yeah, very old-style. Mm. It's, you know, of course, you know, people aren't getting shot. You know, massacres aren't being carried out, that sort of thing.
No, they won't. They put us in jail.
Yeah. Well, yes, all right. They do it in a different way.
Yeah.
And every now and then it bursts out, this violence.
Mm.
But essentially it's completely, how do you put it, we're constrained, do you know what I mean, to express our, you know, what we want for the country, what we want for our people. Our opinions and our ideas are simply not even heard, but are not even invited in, do you know?
Invited in by the media, mainstream media, for starters.
Yeah, for a start, yes.
The education system is another one.
Yep.
And then there's the politicians and bureaucrats and the mainstreamers that we have to deal with.
Yeah. It, you know, Aboriginal affairs in general is run really, really badly in this country, really inefficiently, uneconomically, and you can lay all that at the feet of government, and not just the federal government, of course, the state.
Mm.
You know, and the worst thing is that they've given back a whole lot of power to the states now, and the states before, you know, why this power was taken away from them before, where they were doing such a horrible,
that's right,
very bad job, very bad, and now it's gone full circle. It's gone back to that. Now it's all going back to the states. You know, and hence you see the over there in West Australia. you know, straight away.
Exactly. Just like the mainstreaming policies, the assimilationist and integrationist policies back in the past, way back in the past, is now reinvigorated.
Yes,
You know.
And you see Abbott, Mr. Abbott.
The Prime Minister for Aborigines.
Prime Minister, Prime Minister, the person who likes and respects Aboriginal people, apparently. It sets the situation up perfectly for him to blame the West. Well, that's the West Australian government's position. That's their decision, you know, not ours. And then, of course, they say, oh, well, you know, the Commonwealth government, they've cut this enormous amount of funding, so our hands are tied, we have to do. You know, it's immoral. It's totally immoral. It is. And they know very well what the situation is, and that's how they slime their way out of it, you know.
Well, when you mention morality, another thing that comes to mind is this new restructured funding regime that's been introduced, the Indigenous Advancement Strategy. All the sporting clubs, rugby league, AFL, have received funding. They've got their hand out for black money.
Yeah, and they have millions themselves, millions
of course,
and millions of dollars.
Government departments.
Right. Yeah.
The Department of Health and Ageing, for one.
Universities,
all the universities, including the Catholic University.
Jeez.
As a Catholic, the Vatican is the smallest and richest state in the world.
Yes, yes.
So the Catholics have got their hand out for money.
They've got their hand out too,
Black money.
Yeah, the cheek of it, eh? They always talk about Aboriginal people with handouts for money.
Church groups, you know? Swimming Australia, Athletics Australia, and the Benevolent Society. I would have expected the Benevolent Society to be having the money to hand out to us. Maybe that's what they're doing. They've got the hand out for black money so they can give it to us poor blacks.
Yes, to keep up with their reputation for being benevolent.
Exactly, for being benevolent.
Yeah, so they give it back to us and so on. But all those other, apparently, Mission Australia...
Yeah,
Relationships Australia,
big NGOs,
they've all got a huge amount of money.
That's right.
Huge.
That's
they always did, but they've got probably even more now, I would imagine.
So, Mary, the old saying that if the Aboriginal industry, so to speak, the Aboriginal
institution industry.
Sort of thing, if that closed down, where would these people be?
That's right. They'd have, you know, thousands and literally thousands and thousands of white fellows would have no funding coming in to pay their mortgages,
jobs.
You know.
Yeah,
because
no
I do believe that Aboriginal funding is actually geared towards that. I'm not saying it's like a conspiracy and it's all that sort of thing, but it just so happens, it works out that way, doesn't it, that tens of thousands of white fellas are employed in all kinds of different aspects with Aboriginal money, you know, whereas the money, if it was done efficiently, if it was really efficient, it would be targeted more exactly, more correctly. You know, Aboriginal people would be the advisors, the real advisors I'm talking about, not the gammon advisors in there in Canberra, as to how to efficiently distribute these funds so it gets to where it's needed. That's how it could be, but it isn't. And it is an industry. You know, Aboriginal industry is there for white fellows, really, not for Aboriginal people. Just like Aboriginal affairs has always been run on behalf of white Australia, not on behalf of Aboriginal Australia. You know, it's a fact of life.
It is.
And what I would love to see is if we had a really, really good mainstream media who were actually doing their job in investigating and so on, try and look at exactly how much funds, right to the cent, last cent, all of these other organisations, what the list you just read out, plus Mission Australia, how much are they actually getting? How much do states get? And where is the accountability? Where's the system of accountability for it? You know, because I bet you anything there isn't. I can just see that.
Yes. And, you know, the Indigenous Advisory Strategy funding, it's based on, it's got three main criteria, that the funding is for school attendance, for jobs, and safer communities. So they assess the money that they give us.
And see
how we comply with school attendance, jobs, and safer communities. Now, the funding cuts, Mary, like to the legal service and other Aboriginal organisations, we in the community, our organisations, we're the biggest employer of our people.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, because they don't get anywhere in mainstream.
They're talking about jobs.
They refused it.
They're cutting funding and closing down organisations, which means people lose their employment, they lose their job, And then on the other hand, it just this is so contradictory, but so typical.
Yes, yes.
Because we are the largest employers. When you look across the black community, most of our people are employed by our own organisations.
Yeah.
And they're the ones being squeezed out.
Yes.
And the Mission Australians and people come in. They have little to no record or experience in dealing with whatever they've tendered for. Then they go back into the community and say, look, we need some help, you folks.
We need some help. Can you come? You know, we'll employ you.
Yep.
And you tell us how to do it
tell us how to do this job.
And so on and so on.
If we don't like what you're saying, well, that's all right. We'll tell you, well, no, we're not going to do it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because black fellas don't have cars, well, we're not going to have you go and pick them up. They just have to make their own way or whatever, whatever it might be.
Yep. Yes, I know. It's look, it's just disgusting. And I just can't believe it's 2015 and they're still doing this sort of thing.
You know, 21st century.
The governments with regard to Aboriginal affairs are just so they're backward.
Oh, you know? Very backward.
Yeah.
Very
backward. And when you're describing that there now, you can see the inefficiency. You
of
know,
course.
A first year economic student or anybody could see that it's inefficient. You know?
You don't need too many brains to work that out.
No. No.
There's obviously no clear policy or framework.
No framework, definitely.
And they talk about closing the gap.
Yes.
Where's the closing the gap here with this sort of stuff?
Yeah.
They just had National Close the Gap Day. They handed down a report which was fairly dismal.
Yes. No successes, no improvement, nothing. And they'll, you know, they gammon hang their heads. If they did, actually.
Yeah,
I don't think
they didn't really. Oh, they held their heads high. They held their heads high.
Oh, we'll
and
do better next time.
Blame the victim.
Yeah, and we'll do better next time or something like some vague thing like that, you know.
Now, we've had an open letter signed by 26 organisations, such as Amnesty International, the Australian Bar Association, Reconciliation Australia. These are just a couple of the organisations among, like there's 26 organisations have signed this letter.
Yeah, that's good.
Pleading with the Prime Minister to reverse the decisions on the cuts of legal services and what have you, you know.
Is there any economic group there or the economics sort of – or economists say anything there?
Not that I've found so far.
Because that's what I would like. I would like – I mean, I think that's wonderful. That's great that they, you know, very supportive and critical and so on, all those groups, you know. But I'd really like to see right to the cent, exactly how bad these policies are, and this is how Australian taxpayer dollars, including Aboriginal taxpayer dollars too, is being badly spent, is being badly utilised. You know, so an economist should really, not a government economist,
somebody
independent, if it's possible, to really look at the whole thing of Aboriginal funding and these policies here and see exactly
and do an analysis
how unfair, but especially how inefficient it is.
Yeah.
You know, they're the ones who keep saying they have to do these things, you know, because for economic reasons, you know.
Mm.
Well, if that's so, then how come you're doing all these contradictory things?
Exactly.
You know, why are you doing it like that?
Yeah.
The better way to do it is 1, 2, 3, you know, this other, you
well,
know,
Mary,
working
you
with us, working with blackfellas.
But when you think about the closure of 150 or so communities, let's look at the impact of that on the urban centres that they may be moved to.
Oh,
there's housing, which is already overcrowded wherever you go.
It'll be worse. It'll explode.
That's worse. Yeah, yeah. The health services.
Will this plummet?
Yes, you know? Yes. Yeah. And so on and so forth. There's just two examples.
Yeah. So there's a gap. The gap is going to get wider.
Exactly.
They go in really, really fast, actually. That's what's
going to
happen.
They haven't thought this through because it's going to cost more to remove people or force them out, starve them out of community by closing down the infrastructure services, isn't that?
Yeah. And, you know, it's not enough to say even to criticise Joe Hockey. He's only one person.
That's right.
But very bad treasurer, you know. He should go back to whatever his first job was, you know, and do that. But he doesn't know what he's doing. But it is a whole of government approach to Aboriginal people and Aboriginal affairs that is, you know, they're staying in line with a particular view throughout the community that Aboriginal affairs or Aboriginal people are marginalised and should be kept marginalised. Don't do too much for them, you know, because it's throwing away money, as a, you know, their favourite, what's that favourite saying, throwing money at the problem.
Throwing good money after bad.
Or throwing money at the problem, you know. If we had better policies, there wouldn't be a bloody problem.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? If they worked with us.
And the problem isn't
properly.
No. The problem is the attitude and the way things are being done at the top.
Yes. And where are they? What I want to know is where are those big activists now? You know, the Marcias and the Warrens and the...
Well, they did speak out against...
Noel. Did they actually come out?
Out against Abbott. And that was one thing when Abbott said, they are lifestyle choices when people live on country.
That's right. That's the only thing, though, that
they
criticised.
They spoke out
Did they criticise the policies? I don't think I've heard any of them saying anything about that. And they are the people who have been advising government or going along very meekly with Australian governments in their policies. You know, they've really made their bed with them.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Collaborators.
And they've kept their mouth shut, even though they themselves have made a lot of money too.
They benefit from it.
Yeah, they've benefited from it, and they've kept their mouth shut about these policies. So where are they?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I want to know.
Yes.
Where are they? Why don't they open their mouth and defend these policies now? Yeah.
Well, I was happy to hear them criticise Abbott for his comment.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Even
that's
Giles,
right.
the Northern Territory... leader of the government in the Northern Territory, Adam Giles.
Yes.
He was even critical.
Oh, right.
As was, I think, as young Warren Pitt here, the treasurer of the state government.
Yeah.
He was critical. So it's sort of polarising the view.
It is good. It is good, you know, and I commend them for it, for speaking up and saying that. But in the same token, and I know I sound like a wet blanket or something, but it's easy to knock that too.
Oh, yes, of course
it's
it
easy
is.
To knock the
very,
thing of, how can you say that? It's a horrible thing and it's racist and it's so obviously bad and wrong and untrue and so on and so on. But, you know, go further than that a bit and get stuck into the policies.
Yes, that's what's required.
Well, yeah, you know.
And work with mob.
And it's work with mob and stop using this. To me, it's like cruelty is an actual option. You know, cruelty is being used here. Like against
like
the asylum seekers.
Like a mean-spirited approach here.
Very mean-spirited, you know. Oh, my God. You know, you look at the asylum seekers and then you look at us, look at our Aboriginal affairs, how badly it's run. No, it's just totally immoral and inefficient, you know.
It's interesting you mentioned the asylum seekers. Mm. Was it the Human Rights Commission that did the inquiry and it came out scathingly attacked?
And they got stuck into the head
and
of it.
And then they want to sack the head of it because of that?
Yes.
Wow. If you aren't a collaborator, there's no room for you.
Yes.
Be you white or black.
Yes, yes. And
that's just ridiculous.
She's very brave, very brave person,
Oh, yes.
Really. That was terrific. Trigg? And she just held her ground.
Was it Gillian Trigg?
Gillian Trigg, yeah. She just held her ground.
She did.
A tough lady, you know, and that's and highly moral.
For sure.
Really.
I want to take a break for a song, but I want to come back. You mentioned taxpayer money, taxpayers' dollars. That flag's always waved in regards to Aboriginal people, First Nations issues and concerns.
Mm.
Oh, but the poor taxpayer, another burden to the poor taxpayer, you know.
Yes.
Not good at all.
Mm.
Mary Graham is my guest. Mary, this term, taxpayer dollars, taxpayer funds, is always brought out and waved around in relation to First Nations issues and things. But I just want to add that, what about some of the multinationals? What about some of the big corporations? What about the pastoralists and different groups in this country that get government grants?
Yeah.
They're taking taxpayer money.
Yeah, they're
but
welfare.
But it's not flagged. It's not presented as that.
No, that's
we're
welfare.
The ones that are bludging on the government, on the economy with grants.
Yeah, apparently.
But the grants were devised. They were created for, not for us.
Yeah.
The grant system was created to prop up these industries and businesses.
Yes. Yeah.
It gets up my nose a bit.
Yeah.
When you hear it mentioned, it's always in terms of blacks and our good taxpayer dollars.
And all this money being spent, you know, and there's nothing
to
show for it.
The benefits.
Yeah, the benefits, so-called benefits.
The so-called benefits.
Yes. But
mentioned something about corporate welfare.
Yeah. Well, they have been helped all the time, even though this government has said no. You know, remember, I think it was the factory down south. Mm. Was it chocolate?
Well, there's been a few of them.
Was it? I don't know. Yeah. Sort of a, you know, a smaller corporate, but nevertheless a corporate asking for a bailout, you know. But a whole lot of them being bailed out. But this government has said that they, no, they're not doing that. They're not like the Labor Party, you know, want to make a distinction there. They're going to be hard and all that kind of stuff. But they do.
They have
they
to.
They do. They, because business, big business, the rich, corporates, yes. That Liberal Party is their party.
That's who props up the
Liberal
Party.
That's who talks for them. That's who does their bidding and so on and so on.
Most certainly.
It goes on, you know.
But it's, sometimes in the past there's been car manufacturing companies that have been bailed out.
Bailed out,
Well, back in the day it was Ansett Airlines, I think, was bailed out, where the employees.
Yes.
The government came through with their long service and their redundancy, whatever it was, their entitlements.
Yes.
That was paid on, I'm going back 20 years or so, whenever Ansett was around, you know.
But you know, all governments do that. But, and actually, in a sense, I'm sort of don't even, you know, you got to, you know, there is a responsibility, like keep people in jobs, don't throw, like this government throwing what, 16 or 20,000 people out of work straight off, just like that.
Mm.
That's very bad. But why keep all that sort of very nicely hidden, but highlight Aboriginal people being helped and the poorest of the poor being helped quite rightly, You know what I mean? That funding absolutely should go to them.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, to help in all aspects, health and legal services, and very necessary. Why point that out or finger that as being really bad economics? Do you know what I mean? It's so one-sided. I'm not even saying that, look, don't help other bodies or something, get to keep people in employment, but, you know, for God's sake, you know, be a bit even-handed, especially the media, bloody third-rate media in this country, you know, be a bit more even-handed and truly, truly investigative. They're not investigative.
Not at all.
Not really good at analysis either, you know. Try analysis, media, you know, mainstream media. They should. Might be interesting.
I raised a few days ago, since this IAS funding, the Indigenous Advancement Strategy funding, clearly the lack of policy and framework missing here, you know, clearly missing. The same with the threatened closure of the communities in Western Australia. Again, clear policy and policy framework missing here. They just haven't thought it out at all.
I don't think they're even good at frameworks, actually, because if you're good at frameworks, you have to work with other people. You have to work with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
They just don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's where that old style colonial approach is. You can see it quite plainly when they have the idea. Well, we will. You know, a bit like John Howard said, we will make the decisions in our own good time, in our way, in our, you know, according to our, I forget the whole phrase he used, but they are going to make decisions, nobody else. Nobody's going to push us, blah, blah, blah. I think that's how they think about Aboriginal affairs too. We will make government, we will make decisions for Aboriginal people. You know, they are just, you know, they've got to be subject to government.
Well, that's
the
typical mission manager mentality.
Mission manager.
The slave master and slave, right. when you can look at it across the board.
That's exactly right. That is colonial, pure colonialism.
It's pure colonialism.
You know,
pure
and they haven't got beyond that, you know, in this country. But, you know, one of the things I want to ask about, or not ask, but sort of talk about, and hopefully we all start talking about, is it's pretty clear that, you know, whether or not they get kicked out at the next election, you know, or Turnbull, I wouldn't put all that much faith into Malcolm Turnbull either, because so far, publicly, he's agreed, you know, he hasn't come out against the West Australian, you know, hasn't said anything like that at all. But if they do get kicked out, and I, for one, you know, I wouldn't put all that much faith in the Labor Party either, really, because they've proved again and again several times, you know, where the Liberal Party before has done things where Labor Party has promised, oh, no, we'll overturn that and we'll change this and we won't agree with that.
Northern Territory Intervention, for example.
That's the prime example. And, of course, they didn't. And so whatever this government does, you know, I'm not all that sure that they're going to sort of – they might. I wouldn't trust words, that's what I'm saying.
Right.
But I think most blackfellas wouldn't trust their words. You say what you like, I'll believe it when I see it. You know,
yes.
I'll believe your actions.
The proof's in the pudding.
The proof is in their actions, absolutely. But if this is going to go on in this really cruel, mean-spirited way, treating Aboriginal people continually, deliberate policies of impoverishment, taking wealth away, well, funding away and give to mainstream organisations continually, then we are going to have to get together ourselves, and some places have already done this, are doing this, and try and work out how do we live, basically? How do we have good society, basically? How do we look after our society? And we are going to have to rely only on ourselves, in a way, to look after ourselves. How will we do that? I think there's a whole lot of different sort of ways of doing it that people are already experimenting with. I was over Stradbroke Island the other day and on the 1 mile, and people are just on that land, that particular land, that's actual straight out Aboriginal land. Mm. I mean, the whole island is, of course, but that particular place where they're building their own houses, they're just starting, they're doing their own thing, you know?
Yeah.
Without any, like, looking for funding, nothing at all.
Yep.
And I thought, you know, I've heard of similar things like that down south, you know, in New South Wales. Anderson, a guy called Anderson, what's his name?
Michael Anderson.
Michael Anderson, I think, in their community, I don't know, different places. I'm just thinking aloud that I think the writing is on the wall that we're going to have to do that. Because they are too, Australian governments are too stupid, and they deliberately show that they don't want to change. They are going to keep going the way they do. They're never going to work with us. I reckon we should bite the bullet, you know, ourselves, and just stop expecting them to behave in an honourable way,
you know.
Because they are literally unable to behave in an honourable, moral way with us.
225, 230 years of that. When will we wake up?
Yeah.
When will we bite the bullet and say,
no,
look, there's no hope for this mob.
No hope.
It's on a downward spiral.
Yes.
To collapse and what have you, as far as economy goes.
I think so. And I'm
you're right.
I'm speaking mostly about the government itself, all of it, different parties, and the government, the system itself, you know. The economists, all those professional people who basically are rewarded for keeping the status quo going, basically.
Yeah.
So we can't rely on them either. We all know that there are a whole lot of really fantastic people out there in mainstream, you know, who do support us, who, you know, go to the wire, you know, show their support all the time and so on. So they will always, you know, be there, really, and that is fantastic. You know, it's not going to be like a war or anything like that.
Yeah.
But when we do this, and as I say, we're already doing it a lot, you know, they'll still be there, you know, the supporters. And,
well, I think there's a lot of mainstream Australians that want to see change as well, similar to us.
They do. They want to see a better society. They know
it can be, yes.
They know many aspects of Australian society are crap, you know, basically crap.
Mm.
It's not good for their own children,
yes,
for the
right.
future of their own children. They want the land to be looked after properly, get rid of this bloody fracking, you know,
yes,
things like
CSG
that.
CSG and stuff. I mean, look at those white pastoralists and farmers that are up in arms about that. And right. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also, who was the other mob that was complaining? Domestic violence. A whole lot of shelters apparently for women. All women around the country are being cut.
Yes.
They are being cut, and they are. You know. So it tells you. It just tells you a lot about governments in general. Not just. I think it's a bit of a. You can't help it. Blaming just Abbott and his crew. You know. Because I think it's hardness. And this is what neoliberal is. And, you know, I get so angry at those black fellows who go along with it, you know.
Those collaborators.
Collaborators, you know, who think that's right. Mm. They know that it's it doesn't make for a good society at all. You know?
I read an example of that, women's shelters, particularly in New South Wales, and I quoted a shelter in Kempsey.
Mm.
That had been, its funding was ceased because the Good Samaritans had won the tender.
The Good Samaritans? Mm. There's one
of the big NGOs.
Big NGO.
Mm. Right. Has won the tender. They don't have a track record or any experience of involvement working in this area. So they're in the Kempsey community looking for people that can do the job.
Yeah.
Now, if you were part of a panel that was assessing tenders, And, I mean, it doesn't make sense that you might suggest, well, look, there's good Samaritans. They're a big group. They're well-resourced. They, mind you, they don't have any track record or experience in the field, but I think they should get the tender. I mean, I can't imagine that there would be people with half a brain that would make that decision.
How could
it had been run for 20 years as a community-controlled organisation, I think it was a mainstream organisation
Where
Aboriginal women went along as well, you know, catered to everybody.
Catered to all women.
Catered to everybody. But was taken out of the hands of the local community.
The local community.
In running it in the hands of a big organisation that had no idea. And that's happening right across the country.
Right across the country, every day.
Now, the other issue, Mary, I have is, where is the voice of the churches?
Oh, isn't it? Yeah, silence.
The silence is deafening. Where is the voice of the churches speaking out, supporting us?
I haven't heard one word from any priest and from any, what do you call them, bishops or whatever.
Any church collective.
And for that matter, whatever happened to, aren't there social welfare, not social welfare, social justice kind of groups?
Yeah, well, there used to be.
There used to be.
Maybe Australian Council of Churches or something, as well. And different
something
things.
Like that.
Different things.
Yes. That's a point, you know. Why isn't there? Like I'm at the moment I'm working with a research project that involves a small group of English people coming out here, and they've only been here for a very short time. We're doing all sorts of activities and so on. They are shocked. They are just absolutely flabbergasted at the level of racism, the bad policies, the history. Of course, it's unbelievable, but. Just day-to-day things, just day-to-day sort of, and this government, they're just horrified, actually. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's more or less right across, you know, right across the board of people who come to the country and can't believe that. As I've heard more than one or two foreigners say, it's like stepping back about 40 years.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, I wish I had a penny for every time I've heard that, actually.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Because
most certainly.
People who come just to the country for the short time, first time, they see it straight away, you know? And why the Australian media especially can't see it, you know, it just makes you wonder, eh?
That white blindfold.
Yes. Very select, I always think, very select sight, you know, very selective.
Very selective.
Yes. They'll only see things they want to see, you know? But not everything.
And the other thing we don't have time to talk about, but the healthy welfare card. What a damn joke.
To
be introduced to everybody.
Everybody, right. We can say to everybody, well, you're in for a fine old time because Blackfellas have had vast experience of it. And
income management.
Yes, income management.
They've been doing it to us since stolen wages days. Yes, income management with stolen wages.
Yes.
I mean, it goes back a long, long way for us.
That's right.
Yes.
So it's not very nice, you know, when you're being treated like Blackfellas, you know.
Was it an experience.
I feel sorry for people if they are going to be, you know, the poorest people.
Yep.
Hounded like this, you know. But God, what can you do?
That's right, and it's impacting on people that don't need this sort of stuff that are managing quite well. That's the other thing.
That's right, but they're being watched, you know.
It is time for us to go, Mary.
Okay, look.
Thanks for joining us, eh?
Yeah, thank you.
We'll talk again sometime soon.
Okay.